Well, it is good to see it. First of all, I want to thank our two minister young women today who served you communion. Thank you so much. And this Thursday is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not in its sense a necessary Christian holiday, but it is a good observance. Just being thankful. I have often thought, if I were younger, I'm thinking about like some of our young people that are here today, I think I would learn some more languages. And I would encourage you all that if you don't know a lot of languages like myself, that you might want to learn the word thank you. Yeah, because you never know who you might run across. If you were in the Latina culture, you would say muchas gracias. If you were in the French culture, you would say merci beaucoup. If you were in the Italian culture, you would say grazie. If you were in the Japanese culture, you would say arigato. If you were in the Ukrainian culture, you would say dayakuyu. If you were in the Russian culture, you would say spasiba. So whatever culture that you find yourself interacting with, being able to just say thank you is a good term to have in your terminology. So as I get ready to preach this morning, and we are about to move to that sermon right now. Here we go. This is not my verses that I'm going to be preaching on, but it gives us a foundation for it. Mark 10, 27, 28. It says, this is when the rich young ruler had come to Jesus and wanted to be saved, and Jesus asked him to, you know, you have to give up something, and he couldn't give it up. And the disciples were concerned about that because they had given up everything to follow Jesus. And Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up and said, we have left everything. We've left everything to follow you. Truly, I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or father or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive. Now, look at this. For those of you who like an investment, verse number 30, will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. I want to say to you, I know it sounds crazy, but I am a witness that when you accept Jesus Christ as the one that you follow, you will receive 100 times more plus than where it was where Jesus found you. Is there anybody else here that can say, I have received the same thing? If you do your equivocation of this on material things, you may not see 100 times more. You may not. Sometimes the only time that some folks say thank you to the Lord is when they get something new, a material thing, a house or whatever. And I want to say to you this morning that I believe that some of that is immaturity. If it's all right for me to say that, that when I was a young person, I would say, Lord, give me this and give me that. as I have gotten older, my trust in the Lord has been more, whatever you have for me is good enough for me. Can I get a witness? And what I have discovered is that there are many benefits that I am thankful for. I didn't read that whole verse right there. I am thankful for that don't have anything to do with material things. And I hope that you young people pay close attention to this, for I want to preach on the benefits of praising God. You know, generally when we receive something, and my hope is that you came to worship this morning because you wanted to praise the name of Jesus with other believers, and that Jesus has done something in you. How many are thankful for something? Okay, about two of you. And I'm just teasing. There are more of us in here that are thankful, and we're praising him for that. So your elements may be somewhat different than mine, but I think most of you have come to realize I am a biblical preacher, and so I'm going to go to the Bible in terms of the things that I see as benefits, and hopefully some of them will be yours. If there's a list you want to add to that, then that's great too. But I'm going to be preaching from David's Song 103, verses 1 through 5, just these five verses here. But they're packed with benefits. They're packed with benefits. I'll give you a chance to write down that scripture so that you have it, and so that you might be able to think about it. And even more than that, so that you might be able to disciple somebody. There's a lot of people who go to church, and I don't think you can go to church. I think you can be the church, but there are many people who think you can go to church because God's going to give them something. And I'm saying, I believe God's got 100 times more, but it may not be what you're thinking. It may not be in line with what you necessarily want, but I can guarantee you, if it's in line with what God wants for you, that it will be right and correct. So David, in his psalm, said, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all." Boy, I didn't put that there. I didn't put that there. God's word says, praise me and don't forget. Could it be that maybe somebody came this morning and didn't know? And perhaps today is the day for you to know that there's benefits in praising God. If you would have asked me, do you ever praise Cheryl? I'd say I praise Cheryl all the time, and there are benefits. I'm not going to tell you all of them, but there are benefits in talking good about her from me as her husband. Well, there are benefits in praising the name of the Lord, not only in here in this building, but wherever you might be. David says there are benefits. And so I hope I piqued your inquisitive nature to raise the question, what are those benefits do I receive from praising the Lord? Five verses, five benefits. That's a nice little basket to take out of here, right? Okay. Number one. God offers me the benefit of perfect forgiveness. You know, when we get something from God, it's perfect. It doesn't get any better than that. I don't care who it comes from. It can't beat God in terms of what it is. So you can put perfect before every one of these benefits. And it says in 3a, who forgives all your sins. Hey, let me hear you say all. Yeah, let me tell you what. That includes what you did 10 years ago. That includes what you did 30 years ago. If you're my age, that includes 70 plus years ago. God forgives all your sins. I don't have to carry that. I don't have to be responsible. You know, every now and then, Cheryl and I will go back to New York City. We were both raised in the Bronx, New York. And it used to be when you said you were from the Bronx, people would say, the Bronx? You know, they got all kind of notions and things about that. But some of the people that we knew when we were growing up, they would see us and they would say, you remember when we used to... Do you recall how we used to, you remember how we used to go to, and we'd say, you know what? The God we serve doesn't throw that garbage up in our, so get behind me, Satan. I have thrown that in a deep sea, and the Lord has put up signs, no fishing. So don't bring that up in front of me. You don't have to remind me of your sin because you got your own. You don't have to throw mine up in my face because all have sinned. I don't care how cute you look. I don't care how young you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what race you are. I don't care what gender you are. All have sinned and fallen short. You know, sin is a equal opportunity employer, isn't it? God, Satan will try to pull anybody in. And we need to tell our young people about that, that using discernment between what is godly and what is not godly. And this is why it's important that we learn God's word, because if we don't, we won't know. And Satan is so good at disguising what is evil until sometime we'll participate in something that feels good, but it won't be good for you. Can I get a witness here? So the first benefit, maybe the Lord knew, I can't say maybe, he knew that I am a sinner. And that even when I get saved, even when I have experienced salvation, sometime I stumble. Is anybody else in here like me that you've backstepped maybe one time? How many? Two times? How many? Three times? All right, okay. Well, let me remind you of what it says here. Praise the Lord, all my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In 1 John 1:8-9, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. All God wants you to do is to come clean. He says, I know it anyway. I've seen everything. I'm everywhere at the same time. Though there's nothing you've done, nothing you've thought, there's no place you have been that I don't already know. It is better for the cleansing of your soul that you confess that negative behavior. I would even go on to say this to you, and this does not require forgiveness, but I believe that confession of negative stuff ought to be 5% of your life. As you grow to be a Christian, 95% ought to be confession of positive things. Lord, I resisted that today. Lord, I didn't get involved in that today. Lord, thank you for the power that you gave me to say, get behind me, Satan. Can I get a witness? Yeah, that positive confession thanking God that I'm not like I used to be. I don't have to look at anybody else's sin. All I have to do, Chris, is look at my own. When I look in the mirror, the person who's looking back is me. Number two, y'all got the first one, right? Forgiveness, perfect forgiveness. God offers me the benefit of perfect peace. A perfect peace. Yeah. And heals all your diseases. Well, you might be sitting there and saying to yourself, how do you get peace from diseases? Because usually when we think about diseases, we think about health issues, which do, I think, have a peace element to it, because if you're sick or you need to have an operation, then it's probably going to rob you of your peace. But the word disease is actually two words. Di means to divide, and E means peace. Are you with me? And so I can't sit here and tell you that if you have cancer, that Jesus is going to heal you. I can't sit here and tell you if you have leukemia, that Jesus is going to heal you. I can tell you he can. Now, if he will, it's totally up to him. But what I can tell you is this, that Jesus gives us a peace. We're talking about perfect peace that surpasses all understanding. There is nothing that can happen to me. There is nothing that can sneak up on me. There is nothing that can come into my life that can rob me of my peace unless I allow it to come in and take over. A young man was on a boat, a ship, big ocean liner, traveling with his daddy. And he saw all the water out there and he said, Daddy, is there any way that that water can sink this ship? And the daddy looked at his son and he said, nope, there's no way that that water can sink this ship unless the water gets into the ship. The ship is tight. The ship is made so that unless it's not being properly maneuvered, then it should not allow any water to get in. Well, life is a lot like that. That when we allow doubt, when we allow evil, when we allow that which is ungodly to come into our lives, it will sink us every time. Can I get a witness? And we have to be the ones that take responsibility for that by saying, Lord, you know what? I did not resist that. I did not keep that from me. I did not keep that from my household. And now I have allowed it to come in. And it has robbed me of my peace. Can I get a witness here? You know, when you get to be my age, you'll discover something. You will pay for peace. You'd be amazed at how much we pay Kaiser every month. Y'all don't hear me. And I'm hoping. I don't have that disease. I don't have that problem. My heart's working good all the time. I'm hoping that it'll go on to be 100 if that's what the Lord plans for me to be, and I don't have to use it, but I'm paying every day for peace. I'm paying every day, Noel, for what might come. I thank God for co-payments. Keep it down a little bit. Because I love peace. I love peace for me. I love peace for my household. And so I'm willing to pay for that. Well, God says, I'll give you perfect peace. Look at what he says here in Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Here's how you get perfect peace. Y'all ready for this? You will keep in what? Perfect peace. Those whose minds are steadfast. That's mean those who keep their mind on me. Those who don't let the evil into the ship. Those who don't allow the evil into their lives because they what? They trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the rock eternal. Perfect peace. You know, it's a funny thing, but if I promise you peace, I can't give it to you. Nobody in here can give you perfect peace. But when God gives perfect peace, you can find yourself going through the most horrendous situations, and people will be amazed at how you get through. Have you ever seen it before? How some folks are going through financial strains like you've never seen it, but they're still singing, hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. They're still praising God. Why is that? Because they've got perfect peace. Perfect peace does not mean that I'm not going through hardship. Perfect peace does not mean that I'm not going through difficulties. Perfect peace does not mean that I'm not going through what everyone else is going through. But perfect peace means that God has given me something that is so valuable. To have it any other way, I'd have to pay for it. And God gives it to me as a benefit. Can I get a witness? Gives it to me as a benefit for just praising his holy name. You have to think about it. That's a cheap price, isn't it? For the peace that surpasses all understanding. Y'all want me to sit down? Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure. Number three, moving right along. God off. Oh, the first one was what? Perfect forgiveness. The second one was what? Perfect peace. That word, irene, for peace. Like in the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, the irene poios, those who make peace. How many of you make good cake in the church? Anybody make a good cake? Okay, got a couple of people make. You know, most churches, they know who the bakers are. They know who the people who can cook well. And when they need that sort of thing, they'll say, hey, we got to get Georgia to make the cake. Well, what God is saying here, that every church needs some peacemakers. That when things get in a conflict, when things get in an uproar, we need someone who will say, let's pray. We need someone who'll say, let's quit trying to work it out and let's give it to the Lord. We need somebody that'll say, there is peace like a river if we'll just allow it to come. Number three, God offers me the benefit of perfect salvation. He says, who redeems your life from the pit. Now, the Old Testament concept of hell is quite different than the New Testament concept of hell. In New Testament, we understand hell is a place where all of those who do not believe in God as Jesus Christ, as well as Satan and any of the demons, they're going to be in. There's a bigger place they're going to go into, that is the lake of burning sulfur and so forth, whatever that might be. The Old Testament understanding of hell, or Gehenna, let me hear you say Gehenna. Gehenna. Gehenna was actually the place where bodies were burned. When people died, they were mostly cremated, because there wasn't a lot of land to bury people. So most people were cremated. Jesus was fortunate because he got a tomb, but only the rich were able. As a matter of fact, he borrowed the tomb from Joseph of Arimathea. But most people were cremated. And this place called Gehenna, you could almost see it burning any day, because every day, because that's also where garbage was burned. And so people were very fearful when they saw all of the fire and so forth, because that represented what was going to happen to you after you died. So they didn't have a really clear concept of heaven and hell like we do in the New Testament. So a lot of their blessings from God was about getting things in this earth, more cows, more cattle for the men, more wives. I don't know how that could be a blessing, but I'm going to leave that right there. And nothing against the women. I'm just saying to myself, you know, one is a plenty as I see it. I'm still trying to work on getting right there. Can I get a witness, brothers, in here? Amen. But this notion of the pit, we'll just say that this is what salvation was from, being separated. That notion is the same, being separated from God. That Jesus gives us perfect salvation. Not only do I get saved here, but I don't get destroyed. You see, I've got a body physically. It does not go to heaven. I've got an intellect. It does not go to heaven. I have emotions. They do not go to heaven. But I have a soul. I have a spiritual part of me that God does not destroy. It can become separated from God. It can become alienated from God, but it doesn't get destroyed. As a matter of fact, that's where we get the notion of eternal torment, that I don't die, but I'm, you know, in the sense that I am destroyed, but I'm in a place where I can't get any relief. I'm in a place where God doesn't come. I'm in a place where Jesus doesn't visit. I don't know about you, but just the thought of that, you know, even in my worst place, I feel better because I know that Jesus can get to me. Can I get a witness in here? Thank you. Have you ever been there before? There are some places right here on earth that are some very bad places. But thank God for Jesus, like John on the island of Patmos, that he comes and he visits. Well, he gives me salvation not only here, but eternally. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I don't ever have to worry. I get confidence right now. I don't have to worry about a tombstone or somebody speaking nice words over me. I have the assurance, the blessed assurance, that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Salvation is really three parts. It's regeneration. I should have had this on the board, excuse me. But regeneration, which means to be born again. Then sanctification, which means to grow in Jesus or holiness. And then glorification, where I become just like Jesus. That when the Father sees me, he sees Jesus. Hey, we're all going to look alike. You better get used to whatever that picture is there. Because I don't want him to see what old Leroy used to look like. I don't want him to see, Adriana, you're a very handsome brother right there, but you don't want the Lord to see the old, but you want him to see Jesus that is in you and you in Jesus. Can I get a witness? Romans 10:9 says this, some very familiar verses. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. That means if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is God. That's exactly what it means, that he is God over your life. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not if you go to church, not if you give your money, not if you follow these 10 rules, if you believe that Jesus is Lord. Hey, we can close out service right there, right now. If you believe that, you are saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Justified is a legal term. In other words, he paid it all. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Only the black people can be saved. Oh, that's not what it said. Only the white people can be saved. Only the Asian people can be saved. Only the Latino people can be saved. No, anybody. Anybody. No favoritism. Nobody above anybody else. If you want it, it's yours. I don't care how much you've been left out. I don't care how much you didn't get in this life. God says, I'm yours. Skip over all of the credentials. Skip over all of the hurdles. Skip over all of the things that they say you have to do works in order to have a relationship with God. All you have to have is me. Come on, say with me. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. My gosh, that is a perfect benefit, isn't it? Salvation. Perfect forgiveness, perfect peace, perfect salvation. Number four, God offers me the benefit of perfect love. The benefit of perfect love. And crowns you with love and compassion, puts a crown on you, kingly glory, with love. And compassion means the ability to give that love to others. That no matter how bad things get, no matter how hard things are, no matter how tipsy-turvy the world is, the response of me as a follower of Jesus Christ can be love. You know, when I see people acting up, or I see people in conflict with one another, when I see people having a tough time with one another, tough challenge, I should be the one that stands up and say, love is the answer. Why? Because God is love. As a matter of fact, he says it this way, which really is the most beautiful verse to me in the whole Bible. For God so loved the world. That's the biggest gift receiver, the world. That he gave his one and only son, that is the greatest gift in the world, to the greatest receivers in the world. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You can't beat that. Not in terms of love. Not in terms of, you can't give it. The only one who's got it is God, and he gives it to us through Jesus Christ as a benefit. And we can give love in this way to others. There are so many people, even people who come to worship services like we have here today, that don't feel love. I'm not surprised if there's somebody who came to worship today that does not feel loved. And I'm saying to you, the place to begin is with Jesus. You know what Jesus says? If love is like a spigot, you know how you turn a spigot on to get water out of it? It never turns off. It never runs dry. You never have to worry about, is it going to be enough rain this year? Are we going to have a drought? You know, because even some people, you ever have a person dry up their love on you? In other words, you were supposed to be the recipient of the love, and they turned off the spigot, you know, and I'm sure that's a bad feeling. Every now and then, even people who love each other, they get mad at one another, and they say, what? I'm not going to love you. Or I'm not going to share my love with you. And really, that's when you ought to share the most love, is when I'm mad at you. It's the hardest time to do it. But this is the word of God. When they hate you, that's when you love more. When they despise you, that's when you love more. The benefit is you've got it. It's inside of you. It's called agape. And that sacrificial love will come out if you allow it to. You don't have to hate. You don't have to despise. You don't have to manipulate in order to get your way. You just have to do it the way that God says do it. And he says this in 3 John. He says, how can you say you love me who you've never seen? And you hate your brother and sister who you see every day? You might need to start practicing right now here on earth. The last one, I said there was 5 benefits. I take that back. There's 4. God offers me the benefit of perfect strength. So what do we have here? Perfect forgiveness, perfect peace, perfect love, and then salvation. Oh, maybe it was 5. Is this number 5? Oh, okay. It's got a 4 there, Ralph. And so I don't blame you. That's me. So make sure you get your numbers straight. Ralph is my editor, and he does a very good job at this. I mean, he also edits the website. He does an excellent job at that. So I'm going to take the blame for numbering wrong. You think you can forgive me for that? Okay, somebody said, no. You should have done better. You should have got that 5 up there. And so we're going out. We're not coming back next week. Number 5. Okay, let me look at it again. Forgiveness is number 1. Perfect peace is number 2. Salvation is number 3. Love is number 4. And perfect strength is number 5. How many of you could use some more strength right now? Yeah, okay. Let's see what he says. Who satisfies your desire with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, I don't know about you, but I would be raising questions all over the place. You know, once you get older, it is almost acceptable that I'm going to lose strength. Can I get a witness? I'm going to lose power. It seems to be a part of life with everything that I see, my car, me, other people, that everything that gets old, they also lose strength and they lose power. Let me say this to you because I think that David is trying to get us, he's using an analogy, and especially with the eagle. And that is because eagles tend to be another reference for spirit. Can I get a witness here? And that physically he's not saying that you can get stronger when you get old. You will get weaker and your bones will get thinner and your teeth will fall out. And I'm sorry, young people, but that is the outcome down the road. So make sure you brush your teeth every day. Your mind will not be as sharp. But what I hear David saying in the psalm, and this is extremely important. If I'm saying something that was funny, I'm not funny about this. I think it's important. And that is your connection with God, which we call faith, is the great equalizer. In other words, no matter how weak you are physically, your faith can make up for it. No matter how much you are weak intellectually, your faith can make up for it. That your relationship with God becomes the great equalizer in life because God has perfect strength. When I get a witness here, I don't have to be the smartest person in the world. I don't even have to be the smartest person in the room. If I am connected to God Almighty, God, show your brilliance through me. And when people say they think that it's Leroy Gainey, I can say, no, it's not me, but God who lives inside of me. Isaiah 40 and 31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will what? They will renew their strength. If you have hope in the Lord, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you will renew your strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Anybody in here experience the power of God in your life? Maybe it was later in life. Maybe you were going through a, maybe you had a child that was born paraplegic, but you told them faith in Jesus Christ is an equalizer. Even though there'll be some who can run faster than you, even though there may be some who can do more than you, faith. Oh, I'm glad I had a mama like that who told me that faith will open doors where there are no doors and that faith will open windows where there are no windows. Can I get a witness? Nope. I'm thankful for the benefits. Anybody here thankful for the benefits besides me? Praising God. What are they again? Let's see if we get our numbers right. Perfect forgiveness. Perfect peace. Perfect salvation. Perfect love. Y'all think that five is there? That five is there, isn't it? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Perfect strength. Not on my strength. You know, I'm reminded as I get ready to close, I remember a story about the eagle that has stuck with me. And that, you know, eagles are, their strength is in their talons, in their claws. They don't crush things, but they catch things and they can take an animal, a goat, and fly high with it and then drop it. I know that's not the best illustration, but they can, and it'll, you know, it'll be a meal for them. But with those same talons, those same claws, they can take their young when they teach them to fly and they fling them in the sky to teach them how to fly. They fling them up from a high mountain because they build their nests in very high areas on the cliff. And when the eagle is flailing, at the beginning, they'll be flying all over the place, and then the eagle, mama, daddy will come by and scoop them up. Y'all don't hear me. Scoop them up on their strength until they learn, you know what? Mama eagle or daddy eagle is doing this so that I will be able to fly, that I can do this. And they believe in me, and I'm saying to you, that the strength of God inside of you will do more than you can think or imagine if you just allow it. That's something to praise God about, isn't it? That's something to thank God about. Why don't you stand to your feet if you think that's something to praise God about? To think that God can do more with me than I think or imagine. I don't care if they say I'm the wrong color. I don't care if they say I come from the wrong side of the track. I don't care if they say that you don't have enough education. I don't care if they say you don't have enough intelligence. With God, I can do all things through Christ. Thank you for allowing me to get excited this morning. Thankful for the benefits. Praising God. Let's praise God this morning. Collect your benefits. I'm going to ask our worship team to come forward. For those of you that are maybe not familiar with this part of service, but this is the invitation. I'm going to ask our counselors if they would come forward. You know who you are. It may be somebody today. We're not forcing anybody. This is not manipulation. But it's an opportunity for you to make a decision. Do I want to follow Jesus? You got a lot of witnesses in here, and I'm one of them, that there are benefits. There are benefits that I would not trade for anything in this world. The doors of the church are open. That means that Jesus Christ's arms are open wide to receive you. Now, that you may not be in that category. You may have already a relationship with Jesus, but you need to improve upon that. How can you improve upon that? Well, obviously, like anything else, you learn his word. You put yourself in a place where you can learn his word. This is a good place to learn his word. We have some great time sitting under our great scholar teacher back there in Sister Georgia. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. She's a very humble person, but she prepares greatly for us on Sunday. And I want to invite you to come and to eat the word. That's what the Bible says. Eat, oh, taste and see how good the Lord is. Maybe you just want prayer this morning. Maybe you just want us to pray for you, pray for your family. It's Thanksgiving. Maybe you just want to thank God, and you just want somebody to share that with, that I'm just thanking God that I am here. And I'm like, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty overjoyed this morning. No Cain, I don't know if you noticed. 2 weeks, I've come a long ways. The other Sunday, I came in here and I couldn't even walk. The doors of the church are open. Won't you come?
Thirst for a drink from the well, Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regret and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Raise your sorrow and preach them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior, Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. What a Savior, isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was brought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Sister, will you come? Sister Georgia, and tell us what you need to tell us and then dismiss us. Pray that you will have a great Thanksgiving. If you are in need, I pray that you will communicate that to us so that we can share what we have, so that none is without and that none is alone during this season. God bless you. May God keep you.
Thank you. It's always hard to follow him. Today, I have some really burden on my heart because there's quite a few of us that have been sick, and right today, Heidi and Chris Beckman are ill, maybe even Luke, I'm not sure. Maria had all of her car, her tires stolen off of her car. I have two grandchildren that I'm so worried about. And I know all of you have some problems too. I know there's people here that are, their bodies are just aching all over and they can't find relief from the pain. I know that there's some broken hearts. There's other grandchildren that we're praying for that don't know the Lord. Ah, there's kids that are troubled and having to have counsel. My grandson is one of them that needs to have a counselor right now. He has so much anger in him, and he's only 7 years old. And this, the other day, we had a call that we thought his brother, the 19-year-old, was having a heart attack, and he was put in emergency. So there's so many things going on, and we have people that are going to be traveling. We're going to pray for their blessing, Carla and Ralph, going away for the holiday. And I don't know if any of the rest of you are too, but oh, God Almighty can help us and give us those perfect benefits. Amen. And the one is the perfect strength to walk through this with him. Thank you, Lord, for that, right? Thank you. Yes. So let's go have some coffee and some fellowship. Let's share our prayer requests with one another and just keep everybody in your minds as we praise God for this Thanksgiving time. Noel, thank you so much for leading us. You've done a wonderful job. Thank you, everyone, for being here today when you could be somewhere else. This is God's church. This is your family. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Watch over every person as they go out into the world today. Give them the strength that they need to care for their burdens and care for their anxieties. Lord, you do give us perfect forgiveness, perfect love, perfect salvation, perfect peace, and perfect strength to walk in your way, Lord, and to be like you. We ask all these things in your precious and holy name. Amen.